You're listening to Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Let's do the news and find out what's happening out in the world. Shelley is here with that.
Mm-hmm. And it includes the new mail trucks, which are kind of dorky, and a Brazilian nurse kicking some butt. I'll tell you that story.
Sounds hot.
I know. It's all brought to you by Huffman and Huffman. If you've been hurt in an accident, you need to think about two things, family and money. Yeah. The brothers-in-law will take care of both. Call Huffman and Huffman now at 422-HELP. Changes to the restrictions top the news today around here. The governor did announce some changes yesterday at that press conference where he explained.
Monday, as you all know, is March the 1st. It will be just 6 days shy of a year since the first positive COVID case was identified in Virginia. And we have come a long way since then through a very, very tough time. And we do not want to risk our progress by easing restrictions too quickly.
Isn't that crazy to think Monday is like days from the 1 year anniversary
of the first case
in Virginia?
Yeah.
Now, the old restrictions that we've been dealing with were in place to protect us over the holidays. The governor said it's 2 months later. Lots of people are getting vaccinated. So starting on Monday, here's what's going to change. Okay. He went with this first, and I think that's because he knows us. Virginia's alcohol cutoff at restaurants is going to move from 10 p.m. till midnight.
Look, if we could just keep them slightly sedated, I can keep you in your houses even longer if you're happy. You know?
Yeah. The overnight modified stay-at-home curfew is going to be lifted as well. You were supposed to be following this curfew from 12 a.m. to 5 a.m., but that's done. The governor said significant decreases in case levels and the number of positive tests coming back and hospitalizations, along with the increase in vaccinations, are the reason behind the lifting of the restrictions. Yeah. Now, private outdoor gatherings, you're going to see he focuses a lot on outdoor stuff. Private outdoor gatherings can go from 10 people up to 25. Okay. The current restrictions on indoor venues, though, restaurants and stuff like that, are going to stay in place. But entertainment venues, outdoors, pro and college sports venues, that kind of thing, can have 30% or a 1,000-person capacity. And we may even see that restriction removed around April, removing that 1,000-person limit, but still keeping the outdoor entertainment venues at about 30% capacity. But that's a lot more than 1,000 at some places.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Indoor entertainment venues will continue to be subject to the 250 spectator maximum that's already in place. The changes announced yesterday take effect at 12:01 a.m. on Monday, March 1st. They remain in place for at least 1 month. The mask mandate for Virginians over the age of 5 does continue for indoor public settings and outdoors when social distancing cannot be achieved.
Right. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have social distancing when you're outdoors at the zoo,
yeah,
right?
You can, yeah. I still tend to wear my mask just because.
Outdoors?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I like it when it's cold. Mm-hmm. When it's like when it's a cold day.
Oh, you just,
I like
it just
it's
feels
nice,
good.
Warm,
right.
Yeah.
I understand that part of it, yeah.
It's like wearing a scarf and having a cold-ass neck.
We've gone
know?
Down to the boardwalk and stuff, and people aren't wearing masks.
Yeah. No, and that's fine. Yeah.
And you know what? The wind's blowing and the sun's shining, and I don't think I'm going through anybody's cloud.
I was at the zoo in the playground by the zoo yesterday, and most people were not wearing their masks. It's outdoors, so that's fine. You do you.
Game on.
I wore mine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still.
Does Winter wear one?
No. She sort of agrees. Like, if she really wants to go into a store, she will agree because she thinks she's going to get something. It's like a bribery.
Okay.
She'll keep it on, or like, you know, the doctor's office, you're going to get a lollipop or something. So, like, yeah, but not really. Not really.
That's not really why we're here, but I'll get you one. I'll get you a spider ring. You want a spider ring? Yeah.
As, I don't know. It's kind of tough for me, like, assimilating back into, because I don't want to. I don't want a
former society
giving
or
anything to anybody after just having COVID. You
sure.
Know?
So, totally understand.
Yeah. So like everything I'm doing, I'm like wearing my mask just to make sure.
Well, we're all still wearing them around here. Yeah. And quite honestly, we're the only ones we seem to pass in the hallway.
I know.
But you know what? That's the rule. I'm good with that. I don't want people to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I generally put a mask on if I go to the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
You know? Well. What's the realistic chance that something that I say or do is going through that window against the air current, which is piling out of the place?
I want them to feel comfortable.
But
though.
I just want them to be comfortable. Yeah. Right. I do it for them more than me at this point.
Yeah. And if they were like, hey, could you take that off? I'd be more comfortable if you take it off. All right, fine.
I had that happen the other day.
Wait a second.
Up shirtless.
What did I just say? I was going to say. Yeah.
I'd be more comfortable if you were shirtless right now.
Let me take one back.
Damn it.
With all this, by the way, in Sacramento, the school district there, some of the members of the school board have been, they say they've had their property vandalized by people that are calling for an end to virtual learning. The Jeep in the board vice president, Michael Baker's driveway, was vandalized. There was a note left on the seat of his car said, bring kids back, but it had bring with two G's and back with two C's. So it was misspelled.
Wow.
Yeah. He says he's not going to let people intimidate him.
Yeah.
Well, let me see if this is the clip. I think I grabbed the clip from him.
About maybe 9 o'clock, the neighbor had called and said, hey, your car window's busted out. And I, of course, jumped up, went outside. Glass all in the street, glass in the car. I understand what was done to my house, but I'm not going to play victim. I'm not going to get scared. Everybody wants to come back, but we need to do it when it's safe. It's a road. It's a pandemic. But for the first time, there's actually a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. Not a little, but there's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel.
So as an elected official, did you ever think that, you know, that they would, you know, storm your driveway or the Capitol?
Well, you know. Yeah.
Gee whiz, I thought I was trying to help, but apparently I'm not.
Yeah,
apparently, that's up to the vigilantes.
He's not going to let them intimidate him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, get ready to whip it out for a Johnson. Your arm, you're going to need just one. Johnson & Johnson's single dose vaccine is going for emergency approval. Could start getting used as early as next week. This one protects against COVID-19, according to an analysis by U.S. regulators. The FDA scientists said yesterday that the vaccine is about 66% effective at preventing moderate to severe COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the key, 100% effective at preventing hospitalizations and death. That, according to the Associated
Press. And that's
what's
critical. That's why it's so valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
Suddenly, it makes this a manageable disease.
Yep. So what they do next is the agency's independent advisors debate the evidence and see if it's strong enough to recommend it. Right. If they do, then the FDA will make a final decision. That's expected to come within days. Now, Johnson & Johnson tested the single-dose option in 44,000 people in the U.S., Latin America, and South Africa.
Okay.
Those are different. They have different mutated versions of the virus circulating in the different countries. So they kept tabs on it, and they had previously said that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine worked best in the United States. In fact, it was like 72% effective, at least here. So, but in every country, it was still highly effective against the most serious symptoms, and early study results showed no hospitalizations or deaths starting 28 days after vaccination. So
That's a plus.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's what we're working with. If it gets approval, only a few million doses are expected to be ready to ship out the first week, but they said they could have 20 million by the end of March and 100 million by the summer.
Yeah.
So get cranking on it.
Yeah. Summer's starting to look actually pretty good where all the stuff coming together. You know what I mean? A lot of vaccinations and a lot of vaccine availabilities, and hopefully the mutations aren't too particularly bad.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it said that the UK version could end up being the dominant version in the United States by the end of March.
Yikes.
Somebody said. But that's not the particularly bad one. The South African one is worse.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
I don't know the different mutations. I just
know the ones they talk about in the news. By the way, there have already been like dozens of mutations of this. These are just a couple that they have named for their regions. This thing's been mutating the whole time. They just don't talk about it because it hasn't been significant.
Yeah.
So some of these became more significant because the UK one was stickier.
Okay.
That was a new wrinkle.
Right.
And then the South African one is also stickier. And
stickier
maybe
than
a
this?
Little dire.
Stickier than
maybe
spreading
a little worse, perhaps, right?
Like yeah. That's
I know.
It's not playing, man.
No, I know. We all got sick.
Yep.
But if this was a cold, we might all get a cold, too.
I know.
That's just one of
those
things.
But the cold wouldn't have laid me out for a week.
Well, that's the difference.
Not fun.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. Here's something that's going to be different. All Have you seen the pictures of the new mail trucks? You know, the ones that drive around to your house to bring you your mail to your mailbox?
Yeah.
Okay, for the first time in 30 years, U.S. Postal Service delivery trucks are getting a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
But the design, people are not so sure about it. The next generation delivery vehicles, as they're being called, which are expected to hit the road in 2023, are going to be equipped with either fuel-efficient internal combustion engines or battery-electric powertrains. It will have AC and heating, ergonomics, 360-degree cameras, advanced braking and traction control, more cargo space, airbags, a front and rear collision avoidance system that includes visual and audio warnings, and automatic braking, I want to like grunt like Tim the Toolman Taylor there. But, but and the way it looks, it has a huge windshield with this low front that juts out.
It is weird looking.
People are describing it like a duck bell. Or I think it looks like it just is saying "durr" as it drives around. One Twitter
user. Looks like
user,
Perry the Platypus from Phineas and Ferb.
One Twitter user said it looks like a golf cart and a platypus had a baby.
Oh, there you go. See?
Another longtime Postal Service worker said he's excited about the truck, but he did call them dork mobiles.
It's a dork mobile, but you know what? It's my dork mobile, so leave me alone. As a postal worker, I'm happy to get anything new.
Yes, that's right.
When's the last time you saw a new one of those trucks?
AC and heat. What? A door? Like all the way across? All right, I'll take it.
Yes.
And then finally today, there is a Brazilian nurse. Hello, nurse.
Hello, nurse.
Her name is Angela Goncalves, and she was recording herself dancing at her house when suddenly in the background of the video, there's a man who appears in the yard behind her. He kind of leers at her, then enters the house as she's dancing. Now, she's distracted because she's got the music going and stuff.
Yeah.
And he tried to grab her.
Gross.
Now, she goes on the offensive, though. She delivers what's described in this report as a torrent of punches and kicks as the man tries to run. She actually posted the video and a description on Facebook. She said, "I got scared and acted natural as if I knew him until he reacted with the intentions of trying to grab me.
Uh-oh.
On that, with my docile pit bull instinct, I beat the hell out of him."
Nice. Good for you.
She said she delivered a hefty dose of whoop-ass. "I was in my house with my 11-year-old daughter when he came in. I attacked him with 1,000 different things in my mind about what could happen. The suspect did get away, but the nurse has since filed a police report about the scary incident."
And drove the guy off.
Yeah, that's terrifying, man. Wow.
I've never had anyone in my house. I know you got your house broken into.
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
I've had
that
my house
suck.
Broken into. Not just that.
Yeah.
When I lived with another roommate.
Ah.
It was actually my better roommate.
Okay.
We're in the house, and one night we come out, and there's a guy asleep on our recliner.
And you don't know who it is?
Nope, I had no clue.
I had a friend who had that happen in Portsmouth about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, just some guy asleep on their couch when they got up in the morning.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't disturb anything.
This was the middle
was
of the night.
Just a drunk dude.
We found him in the middle of the night. Yeah, and he was a drunk dude.
Yep, just a drunk dude.
And we woke him up,
house.
And I said, "Hey, you need to get out."
Like, yeah.
My roommate's kids lived there.
Oh my
with
God.
Us. We were like, "You need to leave, dude." You know, so we got him outside, and we even called him an Uber. And
really?
Nice
to get him where, yeah, well, he
That's
was
lovely.
Drunk. We didn't want him trying to drive anywhere or do anything dumb.
Sure.
And he genuinely didn't see, he had no clue how he ended up in the house.
Did he know who he was or where he was from or anything?
He was really drunk.
Still
he was,
really drunk?
Oh, yeah. He was still really drunk. But he didn't seem hostile in any way, shape, or form. He was asleep in the chair. I think he thought he went home.
That moment, though, of waking the person up, you know, you don't know how they're going to react,
yeah, dude,
or what they have
on my house.
Them.
This is happening at gunpoint. I'll just tell you right now.
We were prepared.
Yeah, good. Yeah, in fact, maybe I would just leave him sleeping and call the cops and see if they could get there in time so they could wake him up.
That's
and maybe we should have done it
did.
That way, but luckily he was fine. Thankfully, he was very calm.
Yeah.
And still drunk, so I guess that goes with it.
Oh, that's good. Docile.
If he's at the sleepy drunk part, then, you know.
This is why Governor Northam is extending the bar hours.
Yes.
We can just keep you a little tipsy all the time. You're very docile.
Yeah, I would have preferred
very docile.
That guy
yes.
over the people who broke into my house and stole things.
Yeah, good point.
Sleeping. That would be worse.
Yeah, that would suck ass. Yeah. Right.
Around here today, we do have partly sunny skies, high of 49, a north wind 11 to 18 miles per hour. Increasing clouds tonight, 39 is your low. And then partly sunny again tomorrow, at least throughout the day. By the time the sun goes down tomorrow, the rain's going to start coming back, and we're going to have some rain as we go through the weekend. But we got two more days of sunshine, a high in the upper 40s for tomorrow as well. Right now, we're at 52 degrees, and I am Shelley for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.